Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
So I've had opportunity while I've been pastoring here to tell you a little bit about how I came to faith and how I received my call, but I thought I'd share a little bit about my growth in faith and some of those first steps in that walk of faith. And because it was, there's some eye-opening things for me. I told you before, I came to the faith having heard and listened to testimonies of those who were filled with hope and those who had a different outlook on the trials that they had in life and said, oh, okay, this is an outlook, this is a view, a trust in God that I see others don't have, and I want that. And so I said, God, okay, I believe in you, and I want to have the same hope that they have. And I thought, well, okay, if there's a God that I now believe in and think is actually watching over me, it means I better do what he says. And so I start figuring, all right, I got to figure out what it is that I got to get right, because there's a God that's watching over me. And so I started looking at some of the different laws. Of course, I wasn't very familiar with the scriptures yet, so most of what I thought God wanted me to do was whatever I had heard from church or from Sunday school teachers or anyone else around me just telling me, okay, this is what you need to do. But when I prayed and asked God, I said, God, how can I live more faithfully, or how can I follow you? There are three things he put in my mind right off the bat. And I'm going to, so this is a bit of confession here. And so some of you are going to be wondering, or viewers are going to be wondering, oh, who is this guy? But a couple things. One, he said, your words, Tim, they matter. And so there are two ways in which that exhibits itself. One is the language you use matters. Don't use words that are hurtful and harmful to others. And so I was like, okay, I'll work on that. I was just getting ready to go into high school at the time, so I developed some bad habits. The other one was your words matter in your truthfulness. And so for the most part, most people trusted me, believed in me, and I was a decent kid. And so with that, I knew as a pretty decent kid that as long as I did it sparingly, I could weave some great lies. And God said, no, Tim, how people view you, I want you to actually live out, and even more so. And so he told me I had to curb that as well. And then the other one, and that one came because I was reading a passage of scripture, and the passage of scripture was simply, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So when I read that, I was like, oh, that's not good. And so so God's like, all right, so we're going to work on that. And then as I continue in my faith, another passage of scripture I read was, whoever says they love God and hates their brother is a liar. For how can you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? And so I remember reading that. And now I knew, even in high school, when he said that, he meant brother very generically, general people. But I hated my younger brother. but this was more than just like sibling rivalry. Like I was mean to him. And God said, no, for you, this is quite literal. And that needs to change. And I thought, oh man. And if I stop, in my mind, stop being as harsh as I was to him, he's going to get away with this or that and take advantage of me in this way or that way. But I said, okay. And so those are some things that when I first came to Christ, he said, okay, Tim, this is what you need to work on. And so I started to work on that. And sure enough, some things started to change, right? Like my parents started to trust me more. People started to trust me more. My friends outside of home started to realize I didn't get angry as easily, or at least it didn't come out as much. And my brother started to get a lot more self-confidence. Curiously enough, I started to get a lot more self-confidence. We started to see like changes as God was directing me. I started to see like changes in my life for the better. And so I found myself after the direction of pastors and youth leaders and stuff who would say, all right, these are ways you can grow in your faith. They tell us how to, tell us about reading our Bible or praying. And I would do that. And I'd start asking God, okay, God, I've seen some change here. What next? What else would you have me to do? How else can I follow you? And so I would read scripture like those verses I read before, and I'd say, okay, what is it now? And so a lot of my prayer life was, okay, God, what now? Or how did I mess up this time? And I'll ask for forgiveness, and I'll do better tomorrow. And so God was always this one who had a high list of expectations. But what I found was I could never quite measure up. That every single day it was, oh, how did I mess up this time? Or, oh, how did I do this? Have you ever had someone who just, you just, no matter what, you just couldn't live up to their expectations? Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was someone who just, no matter what, you just knew, I can never do good enough in their eyes. And the unhealthy part about the beginning of my faith is, that was my faith, was no matter what, this is an infinite God, this is a big God who has a whole lot of rules, it seems, and I just can't measure up. I can't do it. And I remember praying about this, saying, God, I've been praying again and again, how can I be faithful? How can I be faithful? And how can I follow everything? And I just keep feeling like I can't measure up. And Paul has something to say to that in Galatians chapter 3 that I want to read, and then I'll share with you how God spoke to me through that. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, I'm going to read for you there. Galatians 3, starting verse 23 says, before this faith came, he says, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. My faith was moving me towards a kind of, I like to say, like a Phariseeism or something, like this kind of like, I know what I have to do, and I know when I don't measure up, and it also became this kind of very like, it was also very discomforting when I thought, okay, I'm trying to follow God, and I'm trying to do all these things. And so I say I'm a Christian, so I'm trying to do all these things. And I have my friend over here who says he also believes in God, and he's not trying at all. And it would just get me upset. And I just get livid. I'd be like, what in the world? Like, I'm actually trying here. Why aren't you trying at all if there's actually a God? Like, I just can't figure it out. But anyway, I ended up asking, I was this close, guys. I'm serious. I was this close to being one of the most judgmental people in the world, because my entire understanding of who God was you have to do your best to do everything you can right. And I don't know where I got that from, but I just knew if there's a God, I want to do what's right by Him, and I want to do everything right. But when I'm praying to God and say, I keep falling short, and help me, what I found Him finally saying is, Tim, you believe with your head, you know that I'm here, and you know that I'm watching, but what I don't have yet is your heart. What I don't have yet is the love that I have for you. You're not reciprocating with love. You are not following me out of a desire to follow, out of saying, God, I love you because you have loved me. You're following because you think that's what you need to do. And I realized I was falling short. And I want to say to you today that there was some very helpful things in that period of life. That was, even though it was leading me towards an unhealthy mindset in the end, there were some very good things in there that helped shape and change what it was. Like I said, I started to see some changes in my relationship with my friends and my family. And so there were some good things there. There was a sense in which the law, if you will, was a good teacher or guardian. In Galatians chapter 3, he says, before this faith in Jesus came, the law was put in charge to lead us or to be our guardian. I just realized this is a different version of the NIV that I initially read. There are different versions. I will call it one that leads us, one that is our guardian, one that is our teacher even. The word here is paduane. And I know sometimes Greek words get boring, but I'm going to tell you why I remember this word. When I first started studying Galatians and realized what this word is, Padawan, it was many years ago when Star Wars Episode 1 came out. And Star Wars Episode 1 came out, and there was this line at the very beginning of the line, where very beginning of the scene, when Obi-Wan is walking with Anakin Skywalker. If you guys haven't seen Star Wars, I apologize. But it's a very popular movie. Almost everyone's seen it. It should be a common image by now. But Obi-Wan Kenobi is walking with young Anakin Skywalker as he's teaching him to become a Jedi, which is this like space knight, if you haven't seen Star Wars. And so he's walking with him, and he says, "We have to follow our mandate, young Padawan learner." And he calls him a young Padawan. And I remember, and it even kind of became a meme for a while, you know, patience, young Padawan, or you have much to learn, young Padawan. And so this kind of repeated kind of a phrase. And so, and I found myself thinking, wait a minute, did George Lucas make up a word with the same root as the Greek word for one who is a young student, or one who teaches young students? Isn't that interesting? I found myself thinking, did George Lucas do that on purpose, or is that somehow coincidental? So this word Padawan is this word that means to teach and guide and lead, as in a young student. And so when he calls him a Padawan, it's as if he's saying, you are one who is being taught and guided along. And so there is this sense when he says the law was our leader, our teacher, our guide, it was like the law served as my Jedi coach to help me get where I needed to go. And so this is what he's saying. And one of the things I look at, now this is a little bit of an exaggeration, but even in the story of this movie, again, spoilers, but it's been out for many, many years, Anakin becomes Darth Vader, and because what happens is he cannot live up to, doesn't want to live up to, has no heart for the very way of life of which is the Jedi Code, and he falls apart. And Paul is saying here, the law was put in to guide and lead us and disciple us and help us become what God had desired for us to become. But it ultimately could not fulfill that role. And what God has desired out of us is not just that we would follow this law, but that we would be a people who say, God, here is my heart. I love you as you have loved. And I say this, and I'm always scared about using myself as an example. This is where I said I was this close to being being one of those judgmental people, because when we miss that, when we as Christians or in any religious group, when we miss the heart of God, right, that's when we become those the crazy fundamentalists of the group, right? That's when we become the, I know this is the way it is, you better measure up. I've gone this far. If you can't come at least this far, well, then you're out. We become that kind of those crazy people. And so God has desired that we would see that he has loved us so deeply that he has sent Christ to us. And what he says is that we can clothe ourselves with Christ, that we have been baptized and clothed ourselves so that we can indeed have the same love for God and same love for neighbor as he has had for us. That when we say Jesus is our teacher, as we heard in our scripture readings, or if you have been reading Psalm 25:5 this week, and I implore you to continue reading it this week, that it says that he will guide us in his truth and he will teach us. And that we might ask, God, would you teach me and help me to be who you would have me to be? And now, a lot of times when we think teach, what we think is, you know, a teacher who stands and lectures kind of like this from maybe behind a lectern or something and tells us what is right or what is wrong or what we need to remember so we can kind of regurgitate it in our lives later on, you know, or on a test or whatever. But for them to teach is to be one who comes alongside and guides us in our life. And to call Jesus teacher is to say, I want God to walk alongside with me as I'm making the tough decisions in life and going about. And what we find is that God has loved so deeply each one of us that there is no distinction of who he wants to take in the fold of the family of God as students along the way. And so what he says is, there's no longer a Jew nor Greek, there's not slave nor free, there's not male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, this idea of no Jew or Gentile. I think I picked the old NIV version. Did the reading up there say Jew or Gentile or Jew or Greek? Because I think I just said Greek because that's what I just read. But the phrase there, I'm not going to do the Greek word for you. The phrase there, though, Gentile, literally means someone who's not a Jew. It literally means someone who's outside of our cultural, our religious norm, outside our genealogy. And so when he says to us, there's not Jew nor Gentile, he says, when we come to it, doesn't matter if someone doesn't meet the language, cultural expectations that we have. God's grace extends there. Slave nor free, doesn't matter the social economic conditions either. God's grace goes there. Male and female, it doesn't matter, male or female, wherever you think you fall there, God's grace is there for you. And God's grace does not stop. Now, when Paul writes this, people didn't stop becoming Jew or Gentile when Jesus came. They didn't stop becoming slave or free. The institution of slavery existed for a long time. In fact, in many ways, it still exists just in a different form today. The distinction between of male and female still exists today. And so there is this understanding that when he says this, what he's saying is not that those categories completely get erased, but what he's saying is, when Christ comes and we in faith come to God, that those categories are no longer categories of distinction and separateness, that we are still all finally find ourselves in the family of God. And it does not matter where one was born or where one now sets their home. God still loves, and whenever we find ourselves put before them, that God has called us to love them as He has loved them. It does not matter where we have found ourselves with someone about what their buying power is or what their employment is. It does not matter whether someone is male or female or how one views their gender. What God has called us to do is to love those whom God has put before us, and that His faith in us through Christ is one that as we follow God and we follow Christ, that we can realize that His grace is open to everyone. And this is not just a universal, like, okay, whatever, everything's fine, everything's all right, but this is if we can know that what Christ has done on the cross is offered freely for salvation for everyone, for anyone who will say, God, I just want to follow You. Help me to do that. For anyone who might be willing to say, God, I know You're there, and I just want to give You my heart. I just want to say, God, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Do what You would want with my life, and know that I will follow, not just because I have to, not just because You said I need to, not just because You happen to be watching over me and I'm just waiting for that moment when maybe You turn a blind eye or you have Your eye on someone else, but no, because You want me to. I still remember the first day I sent my oldest son to public school. He's 16 now, but I still remember dropping him off for kindergarten his first day. And, you know, it's always that kind of scary thing, you know, because he's always been home, you know, if you remember that. It's always kind of scary, but, you know, I send him off. I'm like, man, I hope he has a great day. I'm nervous. I'm not going to be able to keep an eye on him. But on the other hand, I knew this. I was like, I've done my best to try to show him how to live his life. And I know he loves me, and I know generally he loves people as well. And so that I know that there is a good chance he's going to have a pretty good day. And I think in the same way too, that as we live our lives, that it comes to a point of not just, well, God's watching or God's hovering or God's here, but it comes to a point of Jesus has loved me, Jesus has shown me the way, and I'm going to reciprocate that love wherever I am, even in those days when it feels like God isn't watching or isn't close. And I'm going to know when I see Him again that perhaps He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. We'll see our Heavenly Father and know that because we've given our heart over to Him and we followed Him, that we have indeed found ourselves to be faithful servants of Christ. And this, for Paul, is the central part of the gospel. that our inclusion into the family of God is based on our faith in Christ and our love for Him. And so today, I think I would just ask today if you're a part of your life where you've said, okay, God, I believe, I come to worship, but Lord, I don't know where my heart is right now. Or perhaps you do, perhaps you just want to say, God, I want you to know today, I love you, and I will follow you, and I will love those whom you put before me. Because God's grace was extended to us before we were part of that family of God as well. And so let us ask Him to teach us by walking alongside of us, by being with us in every moment of the day. And let us be a faithful teacher, a faithful Padawan to the one who has come for us in our salvation.
Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the Church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.